When international agreements are made, like the Paris Accord, like the Convention on Biological Diversity, those are international agreements that lack any jurisdiction, right? They're not legally binding because they're not. No one nation has sovereignty over the other. And so even though, so they just really are agreements, nothing more. And so they have to be followed up by national laws, policies at the national level that ensure that these agreements will be implemented. And national regulation can be highly effective. So an example here is the Clean Air Act of 1972 that has really clearly had an impact in reducing emissions. So, and I'm not talking about CO2 emissions as much as because those weren't even a thing in 1972. We weren't even talking about CO2 emissions in 1972. We were talking about sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxides, carbon monoxide, and other poisonous toxic pollutants that were being put into the air by industry. And this graph here to the right shows a number of growth areas. So we have gross domestic product, we have vehicle miles traveled, we have population, energy consumption, and CO2 emissions. And you can see that, you know, basically all of these things have been trending upward from 1970s to today, while at the same time, emissions, aggregate emissions from six common pollutants that I just mentioned, sulfur, nitrogen, carbon monoxide, and a few others, have gone down since the Clean Air Act was put in place. So zero is the level at which the emissions were when the Clean Air Act was enacted. And you can see this declining emissions of those pollutants. So these policies work. And others you've learned about that also have worked, right, are the Endangered Species Act, the Lacey Act, and the Sustainable Fisheries Act. Make sure you go back and look at what those laws, those national U.S. laws were created for.